Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Six Figure Success Club, where we are passionate about taking you from a small business owner to six-figure CEO. Today on the episode, we are joined by Heidi Medina, a social media marketing strategist for online businesses and coaches, and we are going to talk all about starting conversations with your ideal clients. So let's get into it. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us, Heidi. Could you just give us a little introduction to you and your business?
Hi, thanks for having me, Lixie. I am a social media marketing strategist who specializes in talking to people and getting people to talk to them, other people. So the big thing on social media is we're meant to be social. So my special power is helping people get that conversation going so you can turn into more clients.
I love that. I think it's really important because I think we kind of forget that. So one of my coaches always says conversations equals conversions being sales. And we kind of forget that that is the key to sales. Like when I was in corporate sales, the more you talk to people, the more the likelihood is that you're going to turn that into sales. And I think in the world of social media, we put out content and then we kind of ignore the fact that you need to follow up that content with actually talking to people so that you can turn those conversations into sales.
Well, I think also people forget content is conversation.
Amazing. What do you mean by that?
Well, so think about this. When you're online, you're posting content. And a lot of people, they just post content kind of talking at people. And it's the whole idea. I have to post content. I'm on social media. I need to post content. Or if I got to write an email, I got to write an email. Most people don't realize that this is you talking to your ideal clients, your audience, your target audience, and they forget that. So they're just creating, I'm creating content. You know what I mean? They forget the whole idea behind this is an actual conversation. And when you realize that and you do that reframe and that switch, it changes your tone, your energy, your everything that you actually, how you create the content, because you realize I'm actually talking to someone. This is me. Like you could even pretend they're on the other side of that computer screen while you're typing out your content and like they're there. And this would be like me right now talking to you. When you change that, it's a whole different energy.
So instead of just putting content out for the sake of it, making sure that you're appreciating who it is that you're talking to in the content that you're putting out.
Yeah, and it makes such a difference because people get the idea, I'm actually going to talk to people in the comments or I'm going to actually talk to them in the DM, but it all actually starts with the content.
Yeah, because you're not going to get the responses to the content. There's going to be no one commenting or dropping into a DMs if the content's not speaking to them.
Yeah. The comments are the continued conversation. And that's what I like with my clients. A lot of them are like, well, I don't know what to talk about. And I'm like, it's whatever was in the content, whether you put it out or they put it out. That's one of the advantages to social media over, say, you and I just met in person at a networking meeting. We don't know each other. And we've got to come up with some little icebreaker to really get the conversation going. Instead, you've already got the icebreaker because you've got at least the piece of content and whatever that subject is to get you started talking. It's almost a shortcut.
Yeah, absolutely. They've taken an interest in the piece of content that you've put out. So you don't have to try and start a conversation. You've already got the conversation starter.
Yeah. So it actually makes it easier to start. It makes it easier to start building the relationship because you're already getting to know the person because you've already got an idea, at least one topic they're interested in.
I love it. So in what ways can, when we're creating our content, in what ways can we improve the way that it's talking to our audience so that it feels more like a conversation, do you think?
I actually create every piece. There's two questions I always ask when I'm creating a piece of content for sure. I mean, one, so what? Why does it matter to my people that I'm writing it for? And then the other is, I truly do have someone in mind for it. And I find that that is really so helpful for making it resonate. And somebody got an argument with me. Well, this will turn out, wasn't even a debate. This was an argument. an argument with me the other day about this. And they're like, well, then you can't create a piece of content for one person and it gonna connect with everybody. And I'm like, well, it is going to connect with everybody with that problem because they're going to resonate with it. Even if you did create it with just that person in mind, it's okay. It's going to resonate with more people. We can't create for everyone the whole time. It just doesn't work. And so when I start out creating the piece of content, I do. It has to have a purpose. I mean, don't get me wrong. I throw out the occasional piece that I just had fun and I just felt like putting it out. But the most of my content, there's a purpose behind it. I want to know that it's going to do something for my audience, whether it's letting them get to know me so they can connect and realize I'm their person, or it's helping them realize some cases that they have this problem or that I know the solution or there is a solution, that they're not alone. And just helping them through it. And when you give it purpose, it just changes how much more success it's going to have. So at the end of the day, you've created a piece of content and you turn around and you ask, so what? And your piece of content can't answer that, then it's time to go back to the drawing board.
Definitely. And yeah, it stops you putting out content for the sake of it, but like not chasing the algorithm, but instead putting content out that speaks to your ideal client. And I always come back to the phrase of, if you're speaking to everybody, you're speaking to nobody, because it's going to be too wide ranging and your ideal client's not going to pick up the whatever it is that you've put out is for them, because it doesn't speak directly to them. So yeah, like you said, people do get worried that if they're only talking to one person, it's not going to be enough. But talking to one person is the best way to get people to engage with the piece of content. And then you might get other people that aren't your exact ideal client that respond to it as well, but at least you know you've captured the imagination of your ideal client.
Yeah, and not only that, even if you do have other people responding to it, that means that something resonated there with them. So maybe they aren't the ideal right now, or maybe they're just a peer and they had an opinion on the idea. Great, that's more visibility for you because they engaged. So, and that's just it. Our content isn't going to call in just that one person just because we created it for that one person. You know, I was talking to somebody earlier and they were like, well, I want to create content for the entire client journey. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. It's like, you know, I do too. But at the same time, really our ideal client is the person ready now. I mean, yes, we're wanting to educate. Yes, we're wanting to create that pipeline where people are coming in the whole time. And our content overall will do that. But really, we're trying to call in people who are ready. We don't want to convince people. We don't want to have to try to rope them in. But your content will be sitting there for those people to help them become aware at the same time. And you will fill that pipeline.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so...
And then once we've got, let's say we've nailed our content and we're getting conversations in the DMs, or actually let's do the flip side. The content is good, but we're still not getting the level of engagement in the DMs that we want. Are there things that we can be doing to increase that in the DMs, or helping a conversation move along if we have got a DM? What's your kind of take on that?
Yeah, DMs, that's my sweet spot. And I've actually got a masterclass coming up on that. So the thing with DMs, and this is why a lot of people I'm going to call out some people on this one. People are lazy about commenting a lot of times. Usually there's either two purposes behind most people's commenting. One is, I'm doing it because I need to do it for the algorithms. I need to do it. And so they throw out a few token comments because they need to. They don't really have the intention to have a conversation. And this comes back to building a relationship, building the conversation so that you can get in their DMs. So if you can start by warming them up in the comments and have the intention of, I want a continued conversation. So your intention is going to bring that energy into it. It's also, you're going to be asking questions, open-ended questions, things like that. That's going to actually get the conversation to the point where you can move it to the DM, or maybe you don't, you keep it in the comments so the lurkers can see it too. Or you are going out and finding their content. And because this isn't just about commenting on your content, this is going out to your ideal clients. And I think that's what a lot of people make the mistake. They're all waiting for everybody to come to them. when in reality, now there are so many people online, especially since the pandemic. I mean, we were spoiled before the pandemic and we used to complain then, but now look at where we're at. So many people have come online. They realize they can do business online. They can connect with people online and everything. And so many people are on social media, and now there's starting to be a lot of noise. So how do you stand out? You're going to start going to your people. You're going to have to still waiting at first. And once you've done that for a bit and people have gotten used to you, you've built your super fans and your audience and stuff, you will start having a lot more people come to you. But if you want to really get successful with it, you're going to have to go out there and get those conversations started. And that includes even getting into their DMs. I'm not saying cold pitch,
no,
but do ways that you can get a conversation going that's not cold pitching, that allows you to move the conversation that direction. And people are just going to have to get over this whole idea of I'm being salesy, I'm being pushy, people are going to block me, they're going to ignore me and all this, and just start doing it. At the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I always look at it like when you go on holiday and you've got all of the people outside restaurants and they're trying to encourage you to come into their restaurant as opposed to going to the restaurant next door. And it's the same kind of thing. Like, you need to go out and into the land of social media and tell people that you have got a product to sell and start a conversation with them and see if they pick up and want to join in with the conversation. And if you're not doing that, if you're not encouraging them to come into your restaurant, then they're probably not going to. They're going to go into the restaurant of the person next door who is doing that. And it's just a much easier way, I think, of grasping why this is important, instead of you feeling like you're going out and annoying people by kind of commenting on their stuff or trying to start a conversation from nothing. Like, they're not going to know that you're even doing this if you don't go and tell them.
I agree. And a lot, so many people are, and I keep reminding people too of this, is so many people are just putting out helpful content and without saying, I have anything to offer. And it's like, we're spoiled to free stuff. I mean, we are so spoiled since internet came on and, you know, the web is just full of free stuff now. And so if you aren't telling somebody you have something for sale, and so everyone's just sitting back like, oh, cool, that was some amazing tips, I'm going to implement them and then move on, because you didn't let them know you had more for them or anything. Instead, they're going to use what you're putting out there. You got to wave the flag. Hey, I have something to sell. Yeah, come on in my restaurant. Check it out. I got something. And it's so true, because, I mean, so many people are thinking, I can post a few pieces of content and I'm going to have all of a sudden a consistent flow of leads and clients because I posted a few pieces of content. It doesn't work no more. That hasn't worked in about 15 years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely an outdated notion.
Yeah, but it's still hanging on. It's truly amazing to me how long some of these older beliefs and thoughts of when we started doing social media to now are still clinging. I mean, like, ideal time of the day, that's such BS now.
Especially as it's so global. Like, we have people, obviously, you're in the US, I'm in the UK. The time that we're online isn't going to be the same because I'm awake about 8 hours earlier than you are.
Yeah, and you got night owls and early birds and everybody in between. And yeah, time zones, and then people just when they do get on. And not only that, is a lot of people haven't realized with the way the algorithms are set up now, they're set up as a tool to deliver the absolute best feed for the individual using that one at a time. So what the algorithm is set up to do is set up to show whatever content that person engages with the most at the top. And then it goes down from there, less. So it doesn't matter if you actually like the content, you've taken the time, you've built your super fans, you've built your loyal followers. I don't care if you posted at 2 a.m. in the morning and your regular people don't look at it till 2 p.m. in the afternoon. They're going to see it because they regularly engage with you, and it's going to be at the top of their feed because they regularly engage with you, which is why you want to be encouraging the conversations. You want it. The more they talk to you, the higher your content will be in their feed. And it doesn't matter what time of day it is. Instead, yeah, post cool, what works for you.
I like that. I think, yeah, posting when it works for you and when it suits you, and not worrying so much about like chasing the algorithm. Mm-hmm. Because like you say, the people that are meant to see your content will see it regardless of when you post it and when they view it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a set time of day anymore. Like back in at least about 10 years ago, when we used to post content, we would stay on for like the 30 minutes to the hour after and make sure we responded to people and all this, because it would boost your stuff and because people did see it at that live time. Mm-hmm. But algorithms aren't live. Or your social media feed, because of the way modern algorithms, let me slow down. The brain is getting ahead of my mouth. The way modern algorithms have been coded is to actually deliver the absolute best feed no matter what time the content was posted. So it no longer matters that you posted at 11 a.m. and that you stay on. And yes, it helps if you can go ahead and reply back to some comments that you might get some more visibility. But as far as your people seeing it, that's not going to affect that. They're going to see it regardless, mm-hmm. because of the way the modern algorithm works versus 10, 15 years ago. And it's just these old things that are still hanging on. It's like, we got to get past them.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing I'd love to cover with you is, I've spoken to a lot of clients recently who have, a conversation has started up in the DMs, whether they've messaged someone or mm-hmm. they've had a potential client message them. And then they get to kind of the mindset block of, I don't know how to move the conversation forward. Like, I'm not sure what to say now. Like, maybe the client's responded to a story and they've had a little interaction, and now they don't know how to move the conversation on into, I'd love for you to be my client, here's what I offer. How do you help your clients get around that? What would you suggest they do to kind of move that forward?
So they've done the story, you want them to move forward, and you've had the conversation going. The real thing is, you've got a couple of options. I mean, you can, because a lot of people want to know how your day was and stuff. You can mention a problem that you know they have. Maybe you were helping another client with it and see if they respond. You can naturally do that if you don't want to be. The other thing is, you can come right out and ask them too. I mean, or if you've noticed they're having a certain problem somewhere, you maybe want to drop a tip or two. You can be like, I had a guy the other day. I noticed he's on LinkedIn and he was using 15 to 20 hashtags in his post. And LinkedIn, that's of course a no-go. Instagram, that's one thing, but 3 to 5 on LinkedIn instead. So I just jumped in his DM. We had already been talking a bit, and I just dropped him the tip. And I'm like, hey, I was over there commenting on your content today. I happen to notice you're doing all these hashtags, and I just dropped him a tip. Sometimes it isn't about going for the sale immediately. That's the problem where most people lose the sales, they go for it too fast. Mm. It is, most people go way too quickly. Like, how many times have you gotten somebody connects with you and they immediately send you a DM and they're trying to be friendly. It's got their life story, a few sentences, and they've already dropped a link to a lead magnet. They don't know you need it.
And no one, none of us like getting those messages. So don't be the one that sends them.
Yeah, exactly. Instead, I mean, I've got a cute little connection message too that really has opened the door for me for getting people in. After I do a connection request, somebody sends me one. I send them one back. Hey, thanks for connecting. What made you want to connect? I'm Heidi. A little bit, just a quick blurb. This is what I do. And I've got... find something that is a good conversation starter with your people, and to get them talking. You got to get them talking to you first. Mm-hmm. You get them talking to you. It doesn't need to be about what you do. It doesn't need to be about what you're selling, anything. Just get them talking to you, because you need to get your foot in the door. Mm-hmm. So in mine, it's like, okay, I'm from the States, but I live in sunny Portugal. Immediate conversation start. It almost everybody responds by, oh my God, that's so cool. You live in Portugal. We can go from there. I can take it from there and turn the conversation from that, because we can start with that, and we can, maybe we'll talk travel for a little bit, and then I slip it back into a story, usually of something that's going on in my life, client work, problem we had, something I noticed. And then from that, or they bring up a problem they had and they ask me a question. Either way, I open the door for that. And because of that, you can get that DM turned around pretty easily. It does take practice, though. It does. At first, when I first started doing this kind of stuff on that, it was, it felt awkward. It felt weird at first because I'm like, oh my God, they're going to know I'm trying to sell them, because I was intentionally steering the conversation back into work. And I would do it with little stories. I'd be like, oh wow, I just got off this podcast with Lexi and we talked about conversation and how to get in the DMs. The minute I've said that, I've usually opened the door. Oh, cool. How do you get in the DMs easier? Boom, we got you. But I just told a story about something that happened in my day. I wasn't selling.
No. And that comes back to the conversation thing, like just start a conversation. I think we overcomplicate how it needs to be. And you just need to go and talk to people as if you were in the room with them. Like if you walked up to somebody in a room, you wouldn't immediately be like, hello, lovely to meet you. Please buy my stuff. You'd be like, my name is Lexi. I'm a business strategist. What do you do? And let the conversation kind of flow from there. And it's a similar thing to what you need to do in the DMs.
Yeah, have an open, natural curiosity to them. Open the door. Don't make it all about you. And that's another thing I see a lot of people doing is they make it all about them. I've got a guy in my DMs right now. And I'm giving him a chance. I am. We're on the third back and forth. It is still all about him. It's been nothing about me. I mean, nothing. He sent me a connection request. And he's like, hey, I'm this. I'm a headshot photographer, award-winning, blah, 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 this and that is the first message. And I was like, okay, all right, cool. And so I sent back a message, and I'm like, okay, cool, congratulations on winning awards with your headshot photography. And I'm pretty blunt with this, guys. I said, so why don't you want to connect with me? Because he's given me, all he's told me at this point is, I'm an award-winning headshot photographer. Great.
Cool.
So what? Why do I care? And so I sent it back, and he's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I just saw we were both in Denver, and I just want to let you know that I do headshots. Okay.
Brilliant.
Great. Still, I haven't responded back yet, but I'm going to. But, yeah, but this is where the conversation's gone, and I do see so many people doing that. They're like, I need to announce what I'm going to do, and it's like, once again, this goes back to, so what? I don't care. I don't know you. I've got great relationships with some headshot photographers. If you're hinting around that you want to try to do that for me, then I'm probably not interested because you didn't take the time to bother to get to know me, build a relationship. And I've already got two or three in my network that I would definitely work with first because I know who they are.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And so, I think in that instance, a different approach that he could have taken could be to comment on something in your profile and say, like, I'm a headshot photographer. I see that you've got these photos, like, they're great. Have you considered, I don't know, based on your niche, doing them in this way or something? Anything that kind of expands the conversation away from, I'm a headshot photographer. That's it.
Yeah, well, it's like my cute little DM I send. It's always, hey, thanks for connecting. You know, if they sent me the connection request, it says, hey, why'd you want to connect? And or what drew you to connect with me? And then my literally two sentence blurb of, hey, this is what I do. And then from the States in Portugal. And then the question I ask, open question is like, hey, tell me more about you. What's some amazing accomplishments that, you know, you're proud of or whatever. And it opens the door for them to talk about themselves. It gives the so what that, A, I'm trying to meet you, give you, and build a little relationship. Here's a little bit about me. Now tell me about you.
Yeah.
People want that connection. And if you don't leave that room for them to, the curiosity, if you don't show any interest in them, they just think you're about yourself. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. They kind of need that. You need that opening to be able to ask questions or take an interest or whatever it might be.
Well, and some people have no real interest other than selling their product, and that's the problem.
And that's probably the case for most of us. We want to sell whatever our product is. We run a business. We want the revenue, but that that's not the way to go about getting the sales. Sales is it's a relationship builder. Like, people buy from people. So you need to build a relationship with these people before you then go in with, okay, cool, this is my thing. Do you want it? They need to understand kind of who you are as a person and what value you might be able to offer before you then go in with the, please buy this.
Yeah. And I was just watching, I don't know if you watch Netflix, but they've got a new show on right now. I like the reality real estate shows, but they just got the one building Manhattan. And the one of the real estate kids on there, I didn't say kid, he's 26 years old, so he's not really a kid anymore, but he's the one of the young guys on there. He's brand new at selling real estate. But he did have a very amazing reasoning for why he connected. So the show is pretty much all about selling the high-end side of Manhattan in New York. And so it's the big, expensive buildings. But his strategy is he actually targets the people in the 1 to 3 million range, the younger people who are just buying into that amount of housing in New York, deliberately, because he wants them for life.
Oh.
And I just saw that episode yesterday and I'm like, okay, that is effing brilliant.
Yeah, instead of going right in at the top and like hoping for one sale with that person,
yeah,
you go in at the bottom and then you've got them as they move up through the property ladder.
Yeah, so he's targeting like the younger people that are coming in. Maybe mom and dad's buying the flat, they don't have the money, or they're young internet people that have already made some money. And as a result, because he treats them really well, he gets them really good deals. And like one guy, he got like, I think it was 500,000 off, which was like unheard of at this place. But still, because he did that and he took so well, he bought the loyalty because it was mom and dad buying that one for the daughter. And so mom and dad are now in, oh my God, he saved us money. Daughter's in because, oh my God, and she's going to get married and have kids, and guess who's going to be her broker? And he's going to be mom and dad's broker now. And so he's building this whole legacy at 26 in this real estate where he's going to continue on. And you can do that at any point in life. You don't have to be at 26 and doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But he's playing the long game, essentially. Instead of going for a quick, much bigger sale, he's gone for a longer term strategy, which over the course of his career is going to earn him far more than just going for that one much larger sale.
Well, and that's what, if we apply that to our business and think about that on building relationships take time to build trust. It's true, they take time. But if you take that time, what is the likelihood that person's going to become a repeat client? They're going to be a referral. They're going to spread the word. That's going to make your life so much easier, because 60% of my clients are repeat clients. So I don't have to go out and rope them in every time. Instead, I can send out a DM. I got something new coming out. I think it would work for you. Is it time? And I've already got people signing up. Whereas instead of having to go out and look brand new all the time, or I can be like, hey, do you know anybody that needs this? Can you refer me?
Asking for referrals. I think that's something that a lot of clients shy away from, because it's scary. Like, it appears scary because you don't want them to say no, but there's no harm in asking. Like, go and especially if you've used them before and they liked your service or whatever it was that you offered, why wouldn't they go and tell other people that they enjoyed it and that they might find it useful as well?
Absolutely. And you can get people in the door so much easier that way, because like you said, they've already worked with you. They know what it's like. They had good return. They saw the results. Of course they're going to talk to people, but they're busy. And sometimes I think a lot of people sit back waiting for people to, oh, well, that was my client, they got good results. Of course they're going to tell people. No, they're busy. They forget it. Remind them. Instead, you got to be like, hey, do you know anybody?
You've got some business friends that you can introduce me to.
Okay, collaboration at the end of the day gets us so much further, and networking gets us way further down the road. And when you keep that in mind, you can build a network that just does continuously deliver leads and clients quite easily. But you have to intentionally do that, and you have to not be scared to put yourself out there and ask, because at the end of the day, the answer was no if you didn't ask. Maybe it's no if you do ask, but it's more than likely yes.
It's definitely no if you don't ask. And it could possibly be a yes if you do ask. I think one of the things that we need to remember, and all business owners should remember, is that no isn't that bad. If somebody tells you no, it's really not the end of the world. There's much worse things that could happen than somebody saying no, they don't want your thing. And even if they say no now, it might be not right now. But do it anyway. Do it even though it's a bit scary, and do it even though they might possibly say no, because you're never going to get a yes if you don't get some no's, because you haven't asked anybody.
Yeah, I had a past coach that did this challenge with all of us. She challenged us to go out and get 5 no's a day.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was like, and you started celebrating the no's, because yes, you realize they're not, most of them are no, not right now. And even if they might be no for buying your offers, that doesn't necessarily not mean they're no for referrals, mm-hmm. or just commenting on your content. It can still be value in other ways. It isn't always buying our stuff.
Yeah. And just for feedback as well, if they do say no, ask them why. What is it about my offer or me that you didn't resonate with, so that you can gather information and, if need be, adapt your offer to suit your ideal clients?
Yes. I mean, market research. At the end of the day, no's are definitely the door to find out why did you say no. Sometimes it's timing. Sometimes it's how you presented it. If you didn't present it in a way that most people are saying yes, then you need the feedback, even if it might feel a little painful.
Definitely, because that's the only way we can ensure that our business flourishes, is by taking the feedback and doing something with it, so that the next time we pitch to another client, they say yes.
Absolutely. I mean, we have to put ourselves out there. And if we're not, then you're just blending in. I mean, going back to your restaurant and the people standing out front, it is the person. I mean, I know I don't do too many of the tourist restaurants. We tend to get off the back streets. But yeah, you walk down Tourist Row and every town's got one. And you've got, I have eaten at restaurants based on how awesome the person was inviting us in. And really making it in your face to be worth it, you know? And I have eaten at restaurants for that reason. And it's the same thing, because how else are you going to stand out in all the noise? Post a few pieces of content. Everybody's doing that.
So exactly. And if you're, especially if the client is already looking for something. So I was in London recently. I'm going to continue with my restaurant analogy because I really like it. But I was in London recently. I've been to London a million times. I'm probably there a few times a month. I was with my old corporate team. We wanted to go for a curry. That was the plan before we'd even got to London. So we were walking down Brick Lane in London, and the restaurant owners were coming out. There's so many Indians down that one, Indian restaurants down that one road. And we hadn't picked one. We were just kind of wandering along trying to look. And it was the person that came out of the restaurant and said, "Would you like to come into my restaurant?" And we were like, "Yeah, okay, that sounds great. Let's go in there." Because he'd made the effort to come out and talk to us. And we had no kind of pre-existing notions about which restaurant we'd go to. So because he made the effort, we went into him. And it's the same thing that we're talking about here, because if you've got potential clients that are looking for a solution to their problem, and you're the person that says, "I've got your solution," the likelihood is they're going to come and buy it from you instead of going to the next coach or whatever that hasn't come out and said, "I've got the solution to your problem."
Yeah, I mean, you make it easy because you put it in front of them. We're lazy as human beings. And I don't care how much we do. I mean, I do a lot. At the end of the day, whoever's going to make it the easiest for me is potentially going to be the one that's going to get my business.
Especially if you can take some of that, almost the decision making, away from them, because they don't have to go and research. They don't have to consider different options. You've told them you've got the solution to their problem. 9 out of 10 people are probably going to go, "Great, yes, please. I would just like the solution. Let's go."
I know, decision fatigue is real. Yeah. Somebody the other day said we make over 8,000 decisions per day.
It's mad. It's so mad, which is why you get people like Steve Jobs, who wear the same clothes every day, because it removes one of those decisions from the 8,000 that he's got to make. Because you're right, we do get decision fatigue, and if we can make anything more simple, then we are going to take that option.
Yes, and let's make everything as simple as possible for people. And if they don't have to think about it, or they don't have to think a lot about it, the more apt they are going to be to sign up with you. mean, tell them why you have the problem. Don't make them try to guess and be a detective to figure it out. I mean, we've all seen those profiles. You look at the profile and you're just like, so what is it exactly you do? I'm still not sure. And I've read the whole thing. Mm. Or you've got one. I saw one the other day, a link to a headline. He literally had 8 different things he did up there. And I'm just like, so jack of all trades, master at none.
Yeah, don't overcomplicate it. And also, I was talking to a client this morning about repeating the same information that you want your ideal client to see. And so your offer, who you are, why they should work with you, your offer again, and keep repeating them until you are sick of talking about them. Because at the point at which you no longer want to hear about them, that's probably the point where your clients will start seeing them. And it's not until you're posting them that much that they're going to start seeing them. Because like we were talking about earlier, the algorithms are designed to give you your ideal feed. And there's so many people that all of us are following that we don't see every post that they put out. So you need to keep repeating yourself until those clients start seeing what you want them to see.
Yeah, I know. And that drives some of my clients so crazy because they're like, Heidi, I'm so sick of this. They got to be sick of it too. And I'm like, they haven't seen it.
Keep going.
I'm like, you should be thoroughly sick of whatever it is. And then one the other day, she's like, I am so sick of this. I'm like, good. That means you're getting there. And she just looked at me like I was crazy. And she's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, it's about time. They're going to start recognizing you for that now. And I'm like, she's like, but I don't want to talk about it no more. I'm like, do you want to sell it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the only way to do it is just, yeah, keep repeating it until you hate it, and then you know you're doing it right.
I know, that sounds so horrible, doesn't it? Well, by the time you're sick of it and you hate it and you want to sell something else, now you're going to start selling it.
Yeah, exactly. All your hard work then will pay off and you'll get the clients in that you want.
It's so true. It really, at the end of the day, I mean, it's just putting yourself out there and letting go of the fear of, and this is, I know this is easier said than done. I mean, I've struggled with this. I pretty much everybody has, with just putting yourself out there and just letting go of the fear of what are they going to think? Okay, I'm going to reach out. Maybe they do ignore me. Okay, it's not the end of the world. At the end of the day, if you didn't die or get hurt from it, and it's not illegal, then you're probably okay.
Definitely. My kind of philosophy that I try and ingrain into my clients with this is that, like, the idea of lead generation, which is what we're talking about, is something that you should be spending the majority of your time in your business doing. And it's probably the thing we all, like, most people find the scariest. But I think if you can build it into kind of your business routine and just to have it as something that you do day in, day out, then it becomes a lot easier. So I created a free download called My Business Growth Checklist, which has got 10 activities in it that you can do to every day to grow your business. And it's little things like posting your offer, which not everybody does every day, or starting 5 new conversations with people, or posting in a Facebook group. And it's just these little things that you don't have to worry about the outcome of them. You just have to do the action, because the more you do the action, the more likely it is that it's going to turn into a conversation, which will then become a sale. And if you can focus on just doing the action and not the outcome, then it will become ingrained in you to do them, and it will pay off eventually.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, it is habit building. And once you become as easy as tying a shoelace, then you're not even going to think about it. You're just going to do it. And that's even the way marketing in general is. Everybody's always like, consistency is so hard. It's this and that. And I can remember back when I first started posting content online. I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, then I was doing good to get up one post a week, and I felt accomplished at that point. And now, I mean, we're talking, I do quite a few pieces a day with no problem. And I'm just like, okay, cool. This is cool, you know? But you build up to that. And if you're not doing it, you're never going to build up to that habit, and it become non-thinking, non-scary. The things that are scary are the things that we don't know. So the longer you leave it sit there, the bigger it gets, the scarier it gets. And you just got to start doing it. Start somewhere. I mean, it's even like going live. I've been talking a lot about lives lately because I'm doing a ton of lives. And everyone's like, how are you doing this? And you don't worry. And I mean, I've had tech fails. Oh my God, a Restream fell on me the other day. Fortunately, my guest held down my show because Restream kicked me out 5 times during my show. But these things happen, and the reason they don't, I mean, can it get frustrating? Of course, but they really don't faze me much anymore because I've done this so much. I know tech can fail, fine, cool, we're going to get over it. I might be a little disappointed it didn't go the way I wanted it to go, but at the end of the day, if we don't do it, it's just going to keep sitting there, and we're just going to be scared to death of it. And that just comes down even with the DMs. I mean, everybody's so scared to get in the freaking DM. As I just tell my clients, just have the intentions to have a conversation first. Don't worry about settling. Just get in there and get them talking. You do that, you will start making sales.
Yeah.
But you got to do it.
Yeah, the longer that you don't, it's not going to go away. The fact mm-hmm. that you need to go and do this, it doesn't end. So the longer you put it off, you're just hurting yourself, really, because you still need to go and all those conversations that you're not having, you still need to go and have, regardless of how long you put it off for.
Yeah. And that's just the facts.
Absolutely. Well, this has been really interesting. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to go and spend my afternoon having conversations in the DMs now.
Me too. You know what I do is I challenge everybody is to start out doing, you know, set yourself a goal. Do 3 to 5 a day. Start somewhere.
Yeah. Even if you start with one, just go and start a conversation right now with one person that isn't already a lead of yours and see how you get on. Like, if you can just do one, that's better than doing none.
And then do it every day. And by every day, at least, you know, 5 days a week. We can take weekends off.
Absolutely, take some time off.
Yeah, take some time off. I'm not a proponent for being on social media 7 days a week. I'm not. Take a break.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. My 3 key takeaways from today would be to start conversations, just talk to the people in your audience about anything and everything and get to know them. Get to know what they like or dislike, what they're doing, so that you can build relationships with them, because that's the best way to build an audience of clients that are going to buy from you time and time again. My second key takeaway would be to turn lead generation into a daily habit, something that you're doing day in, day out, so that you're continually building a pipeline of good leads. And you can do that by downloading the business growth checklist. The link for that is in the show notes, so that you're taking these little actions every day that will build up over time so that you're bringing in sales over and over and over again. And my third key takeaway would be to remember that no is not the worst thing. There's nothing bad's going to happen from someone saying no to you. And you should chase the no instead of that one yes. The more no's that you can get, the closer you are to getting a yes. So try and swallow down the fear of the rejection and go and get yourself some no's. Thank you so much for listening. I will see you next time.